I'm Lee Blue, and this is Double Stack, where WordPress freelancers discover the tech stack and the business development stack to become high-value, sought-after WordPress consultants. So if you're tired of burning yourself out with those high-stress, low-budget projects, and you're ready to start working with clients you love at the rates you're really worth, then you're in the right place. All of this is 100% free, so please subscribe to and review our podcast. All right, I'm here with Patrick. Patrick is awesome. I've been following Patrick on YouTube for a while. He's got a YouTube channel called WP Builder Helper. And so if you go online, go into YouTube, and you search for something like Page Builder Review or Gutenberg versus Page Builders or something like that, and you start seeing a bunch of thumbnails with like hot pink backgrounds, that's Patrick. So click on those, watch those, and you'll learn a ton of great stuff. So we've got him here today. And we're going to be talking about page builders, performance, web core vitals. What does all this stuff mean? And how can you get more performance out of your website as a WordPress consultant? So, Patrick, can you kind of jump in? And maybe we can talk a little bit about this web core vitals thing we were just talking about. And what does that mean for page builders? And should we all be freaking out? Or is it not so bad?
Yeah, definitely. I think that people are, they've been worried, you know, Google has been doing a lot of updates recently, and especially for anybody who's in affiliate marketing or just any kind of web design background, they're always worried about Google because a lot of people will come to them and they'll, you know, they'll want their pages to rank. And if they're not following what the Google trends are, then sometimes they can get lost, you know, in the, you know, the background with everything that's going on. But at the end of the day, when you start looking at the overall picture of what's going on with Google, you find out real quick that what they're doing is they're not giving you a whole lot of information, and they're only giving you a bump, even if you do whatever that they want you to do. So it's almost like they dangle this carrot out in front of you, and then they want you to follow it. And so that's where a lot of people have been running in with page builders and Gutenberg. Especially Gutenberg is really, really fast out of the box. I've done a video on that, comparing it to page builders and what it looks like and how fast it is compared to page builders. But page builders are more useful in a long run because it's just a set of framework that you can jump into, and you can build websites much, much quicker. And that lowers your costs because you're not spending so much time doing the basic things that you would have to do, setting up margins and just fonts and all the rest of it. Most page builders now, you know, they have theme built into them. So you can build a theme while you're building the page builders. And in the end run, that just saves you more time and more money. And that's what customers really care about when you're starting to work with them. They don't care how long you spend on a project. They're worried about, you know, the outcomes and things like that. And that's definitely something that page builders have done a good job with. The other issue you have with Gutenberg is that while it's very good speed-wise, it's not very fun to work with. And that's another place that page builders just come in and do a much, much better job. I know that there's a lot of purists out there that love hand coding everything, but there's some newer page builders that are coming out that are doing really, really well with making sure that they're keeping up with the web standards and making sure that they're fast and that the customers are really enjoying what they have. They're sometimes a little bit too complicated, but in most cases, these page builders are excellent. And there's a lot of them that are out there. You just kind of dive into them and start seeing which one kind of jives with you and where it falls on the, you know, the speed. If you're looking for speed in particular, it's definitely something that you could, you know, get into.
One of the things that I really like about your content is that you're not like an echo chamber for, you know, just saying what everybody else is saying. Like, you do actual tests. You like load up a bunch of different builders, run some real tests across it, and show your actual results. And that's really cool.
Well, that's something that I noticed from the very beginning when I was going to YouTube. There were a bunch of people who were just going out and they were basically just copying and spewing the same stuff out over and over again. They weren't interested in real world results or anything like that. And I've taken the kind of view or the stance that I'm going to go in as a very basic user. I want to go in as someone who's brand new, doesn't understand it or anything like that. I have a lot of background in coding and HTML and CSS and all of that. And I understand that, but I want to go in as someone who's not an expert, because there's too many people who go on YouTube and their sole stance is, I want to be the expert. But that doesn't do you any good when you're trying to determine if a product's actually worthy of a client, because many of the clients are not experts at what they do. They don't understand how to take and go in and make these changes. It may be very, very simple to you, but it's also very, very complicated to them. And so I think there's a gap there that sometimes web designers forget about, because you have this subsection. It, you know, back in the day, it used to be there was a web designer and there were the clients. But now there's this subsection of DIYers, DIY, you know, those people. They'll take and they'll go build this website. They get into it. They start playing with Elementor or whatever, and they get into it and they quickly go, whoa, this is too deep for me. I can't do this. It's way too complicated. It's great that they're doing that, because it's just giving more work to those people who kind of want that, you know, and they do know that. So that in some ways, that's a way that you can definitely market yourself as more of an expert and break out, because there's a lot of designers specifically picking one tool and going with it. And while the customer doesn't care about it, if it's doing what you basically need it to do and the customer's getting results from it, you can make a living doing that for sure.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. That kind of brings up an interesting point, like building sites for clients. So one of the things that I found to be pretty helpful, well, actually, let me go in reverse. One of the things that's not helpful and that's caused some pain, because I've been doing this for years and years. Right. And before there were page builders, you basically would go out and find a theme that you liked. And, you know, I used to use a lot of Genesis themes, and you just kind of pick one, and then you would like learn the theme, you know, like you would learn which widgets go where, and, you know, and there'd be, to some degree, it was kind of a rigid structure, unless you wanted to get in and kind of tweak the code yourself. But if you weren't going to get into the code, you said, okay, well, there's certain like sections of the page, and you don't have to use all the sections, but those are all the sections you get. And then if you want to put a particular element somewhere, you have to learn how that section of the homepage works. And so you basically learn the theme. And then what happens is you then have another client and they want a different theme. So then you got to go learn that theme. And that works a little bit different. Even if it's all a Genesis theme, it's like the structure of the page. Like, how do you get to that particular widget or whatever? And then the next thing you know, you got 15 clients, and the first client's like, hey, can you update the hours of for us, or some little theme on the side, is like, or widget on the side. It's like, well, how do I, then you got to go back and spend 20 minutes trying to figure out, how do I get to that little piece of information? Right. And you try to have to keep all these themes in mind. And then what happened is page builders came out, and you could basically just learn one page builder and have a website that looks like anything. Like, you had so much more flexibility. And so one of the things that saved a lot of time is, well, what if I just learned Divi? Or what if I just learned Beaver Builder? Or what if I just learned Elementor and that's it? And maybe I, so if I was using Divi, it's like everything's all in one package. Or if I was using Elementor, maybe I use the Hello theme plus Elementor. And that I do that for everybody. And that way, when anybody needs anything, everyone has basically the same site. I mean, it looks different, but on the back end, you can operate it the same way. And then if you scale, you start hiring employees, then you can say, hey, I need somebody who's an expert with the Hello theme and Elementor. And if they're not an expert, maybe you just kind of ramp them up over the course of a week or so. This is how all my sites are set up. And then it's, you've got this situation where everybody knows what everything is set, how it's all set up. And you can really streamline things. But then you've got the problem of, well, which page builder do I pick? Like just a couple of days ago, I was trying to build a, I had a client that was selling smoothies, and it's actually, they weren't even selling the smoothies, it was just the recipes. And they had, so I set up a custom post type for the smoothie. And there was some advanced custom fields going on in there for like, is it gluten-free? You know, are there nuts? Is it, you know, is there dairy in there? You know, certain allergens and stuff. And what we wanted to do was display in the archive view, like in the list of all the smoothies, before you actually get into the recipe, you know, are there nuts? You know, am I going to have any allergies or whatever? So in that actual archive, use some of the information from the custom fields. And Divi couldn't pull it off. At least I couldn't figure out how Divi could pull that off. They had the ability to create an archive page with custom post types, but it only pulled in the normal stuff, like the blog title, the metadata, and like an excerpt, but not the custom fields. So I was like, well, crap, because now if that's the situation, then you got to go to another page builder and learn that whole thing. And so exactly. Another page, like Beaver Builder could do it. Oxygen could do it. I don't think Cadence was up to speed with that yet, because that's kind of a newer theme. So like with all of that in mind, do you have like a favorite page builder, or like, what do you think about like picking one page builder and just kind of going with it? What do you think about all that?
There's like pros and cons to each. Page builders in general, people kind of lump them in this general scheme of things of which one is better than the other one. That's what they like to go to. But in all reality, that's not really the truth. There are some page builders that excel better at some things, and there are other page builders that excel better at other things. So for instance, if you're someone with a very low learning curve and you don't know how to build anything and you're going with a simpler-ish site, but you want it to look okay, you could go with Divi if you're not worried about speed. However, Divi is a bit slower than most. And so if you're somebody who's maybe more of a developer and you're looking to add in those custom options, well, then you've got things like Oxygen that's a better, you know, solution because it's got that more developer feel to it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I try and do on my channel. I try to basically inform people and tell them, like, look, each page builder is not built using the same things. They're built using different frameworks. They have different options on the back end. There's different things that you can do with each and every one of them. And learning that process is hard for most people, because if you're not somebody who picks it up really quick, then you're spending a good month, 2 months learning everything else that you have to know with these page builders. And then you'll go in and you'll look at some of these Facebook groups, and there are people who are specific experts with the page builder that build these amazing things because they know the in and outs of page building. And so I kind of feel like to some extent, that's kind of what WordPress is going to. I think WordPress for a long time, they just kind of sat back on the sidelines and they said, you know, we're not going to mess with page builders. We're going to let them do their own thing. And then when Gutenberg came out, they were like, well, Wix and Squarespace are just taking too much of our business away. So we need to start ramping up Gutenberg and making it more accessible. The only problem with that is that anybody who has a developer background or knows anything about, you know, web design knows that Gutenberg's okay. It's great speed-wise, but it's also very basic. If you want to do custom things in it, you're going to be writing a lot of custom code to make it look good, because the basics of it just aren't there. Even the mobile view, even today, it doesn't work very good. I know Cadence and a lot of other ones are working on that, but the mobile view is terrible. It's horrible compared to page builders. And that's something that definitely needs to be improved on the back end. And that's somewhere where page builders are really kind of beating Gutenberg. Their mobile experience comes out much cleaner, and it's a much better experience than using Gutenberg. So it's weird. There's no right solution, and I don't have one that's like my ultimate favorite. I have a lot of licenses to a lot of different page builders. I test them all. I like, you know, the UX and the UI of Brizzy. I like how Oxygen is very developer friendly. I like that Elementor is just, it's got a lot of everything that you need. Divi's even got a lot of things that's very good. You just have to kind of pick one and roll with it, but you have to kind of look at the disadvantages first. I would say definitely look at the disadvantages of what that page builder is and how you jive with it as a developer or as a web developer and you're designing. If it doesn't fit your design style, you're never going to use it. You're never going to learn it because it's never going to be what you need. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people out there that don't do that. And I would always recommend taking a couple weeks and just playing with that page builder and seeing where it fits with you. You know, that's an important part.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Another thing that you just said that really stood out to me, and I'm really curious to know what you think about this. You said that the WordPress world, or the WordPress people, were thinking, oh, we're losing a lot of clients to Wix and Squarespace, or really, it seems like it's more like Wix and maybe Medium. You know, like I was talking to Matt Mullenweg at a WordCamp a couple of years ago, and he's like, man, yeah, we're losing all these clients to these other blogging platforms, like Medium, for example. And our editing experience in WordPress stinks compared to what it's like if you're going to blog on Medium. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of, I see what you're saying there, you know, because the editor is more outdated than Medium is. And so they basically made Gutenberg, that looked a lot like and worked a lot like basically the way Medium works.
Right.
Then here's the thing that I'm curious to know what you think about. I don't care. When I'm building websites for clients, we're not trying to duplicate Medium.
Nope.
We're building like e-commerce sites, or we're building like, you know, business corporation sites or learning platforms like education stuff. And you know, the furthest thing from our mind is whether it interacts with us like Medium does. And so when he said that to me a couple of years ago, it fractured my mind into two sections. One section was, okay, Matt, when he built the thing 13 or 15 years ago, like in the beginning, the whole idea was to like democratize publishing. So anybody could publish a blog.
Right.
But at the same time, they, you know, a few years ago, they bought the whole WooCommerce thing, and e-commerce became a gigantic part of WordPress and is now the largest e-commerce platform in the world in terms of the number of stores, not necessarily in terms of the volume of sales, but the number of stores. And I was like, okay, well, gosh, we seem to have these two camps now. One camp is, let's make it like Medium or maybe Wix, you know, something that's super simple to build. But then you have this gigantic community of developers and WordPress consultants, people like you and me, you know, people that build sites for clients and stuff. And like Gutenberg doesn't even come close to meeting our needs in that space. It's getting better. It's moving, especially the way Cadence is kind of getting some Gutenberg blocks in there to kind of help you with organizing the page. But like, it's just not even close. And so what do you think about that whole fracture of like, what about, you know, are we going to lose clients to Wix and Medium, or are we going to like focus on helping developers? What do you think about those two camps?
I think WordPress has been the king of the, you know, the mountain for a long time. They've been at the top and they're still at the top. I mean, they're like what, 80% of all websites are WordPress. So they're a huge chunk of what makes the web. I mean, a lot of websites are WordPress. But you kind of see, I think what people are struggling with is that Gutenberg's in like almost like an alpha or beta stage right now. It's still not at the level it needs to be. But I know for sure, just reading some of the WordPress news, it's coming. Yeah. Headers and footers are coming. I mean, as soon as we start getting headers and footers, you're changing the game. I don't even know why we would have a theme at that point, but I'm sure that they're thinking of the long term and how themes will be important and what's going to happen in the future. But I mean, I'm like you. I'm sitting there watching and trying to see what they're doing. And it seems to change every couple months. They kind of tweak things. But one thing's for sure, they're listening to the community and they're making Gutenberg better. Every update adds something new to Gutenberg that we have wanted as developers. It's still not there yet today. It's not there right now. But it's getting easier and easier for the average person to get in with Gutenberg and start building something that's very, very basic. They're not going to build something that's as good looking as a page builder, but they can build something that's basic and it can do a decent job of being a website for them, which some web designers would say, oh, well, it's going to take away business from me and I'm not going to be able to take in, you know, feed, you know, myself or do anything like that. But that's not the truth either. You got to think these clients are not the clients you want. They're people who want to go out and do it on their own. And WordPress is giving them an avenue where they can do it on their own. And they're also making an upgrade path. So where if you want to come in the future and you want to build that site with Oxygen or you want to build it with something else, you can upgrade that experience for them. They can go from Gutenberg to something that's way more sophisticated, looks better, speeds better, all of those things. And it's just an excellent add-on for web designers. So I just think it depends on the way you look at it. You know, right now we're definitely in, I would consider the wild, wild west in seeing where things are going to go and where they're going to develop, because I think they are trying to compete with so many different things. And, you know, they're dealing with e-commerce and they're dealing with this and they're dealing with that. There's so many different avenues that you can build when you're building with WordPress that really the sky's the limit. And that's what I tell everybody. You can go anywhere you want to with WordPress. It's up to you to decide. And it's up to you to decide how fast you want it, how slow you want it, how complicated you want it. All of those things matter and they all matter, but they're based upon what you decide.
Yeah, that's true. I'll tell you another thing that's been really interesting too. Like I've got some friends that sell WordPress themes and stuff. And And they have basically stopped developing one of their themes altogether for like 2 years because they don't know where Gutenberg is going to go. Right. And then there's also plugin developers out there that are trying to build plugins, but depending on whether you're using Gutenberg or Page Builder or the classic editor or whatever, it completely changes how you interact with the plugin interface as well. And so it's like, it's the Wild West. It's like, you don't know what to do. Yeah. It's like, in fact, I was trying to build a plugin about a year or so ago where I was like, well, I don't even know what to do because like it has a lot of front end stuff. It was basically like a landing page for watching webinars and stuff. I was putting a plugin together to sort of duplicate the concept of like, you ever use something like Stealth Seminar or Ever Webinar right. or something like that, where you yep. kind of run Facebook ads to a landing page and people register and watch it. I was trying to build in fact, I did build a plugin to kind of mimic that same experience, but entirely within WordPress. But one of the things I wanted to do is I wanted to be able to put on the page like a countdown timer and like a sign up button and stuff. And it's like, well, how do you do that if you don't know what kind of editing experience people are going to be using? Is it going to be the classic editor? Do I need Gutenberg blocks or do I need both? Or, you know, it's really tricky to figure all that out. So it's screwing everything up for plugin developers, theme developers. Right. It's just everywhere. Have you experienced anything like that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's definitely a lot. Look at what Gutenberg, not even Gutenberg, look at what Core WordPress recently did with SSL. Now, if you're unsure, I think 5.7 recently included SSL as part of its package, which means, technically speaking, you don't really need certain plugins anymore that you used to need to do SSL. Because I don't think WordPress is stupid. I think they know that they're lacking in security. They were lacking in SSL. These are important things that people are looking for when they're building websites, and they should be standard to WordPress. And for some reason, they're not. And I think Matt and some of the other people are looking and they're saying, well, man, there's a whole bunch of people who have plugins for this because it just was never included. But how do we not drive them out of business? And I think that that's where it becomes the plugins developer who has to say, how am I going to be worthwhile in this WordPress world where they keep eliminating things? Gutenberg's competing with page builders. I think that it's good, though, because everybody looks at it as a bad thing and they say, oh, well, it's bad because WordPress is eliminating all these different jobs. I don't think they're doing that. I think they're going to make the experience better. So Gutenberg's faster. We know that, right? So if we take and we look at the speed test, we can see that Gutenberg out of the box is faster than page builders. That's only going to make page builders want to take and make their plugins faster and better. And so I think that competition spurs some creativity and some innovation that we're going to see with WordPress that may not have come out before, because now WordPress is kind of pushing back on these developers and saying, if you don't make something that's better, we're going to make something that's better on our end.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point. And three different points is kind of bundled into that. It's plugin developers, you know, like you were just saying, well, okay, well, I don't need the SSL plugin anymore because now with 5.7, it's kind of built into the mix or whatever. And then there's the theme/page builders. Are they going to be able to compete with the whole Gutenberg thing? You know, that's kind of a big deal. But then I also noticed that WordPress themselves are offering custom WordPress sites that you can hire them for. I think the price point was around, it's like $4,000 or something like
that. Yeah, it's something pretty high.
But a ton of people immediately panicked. It was like, well, if WordPress is offering, you know, to do my job, it's like, I'll never get any clients or whatever. It's like,
right. So, but that's not really true either, because you don't know what they're offering. I don't think anybody has taken and spent the money to buy a $4,000 site from them. But I would love to see a breakdown of what you get, you know, kind of like how you have certain people who go into certain fields and they're like, oh, we're offering this. Well, let's see what you really get when you get that $4,000 site from them. Like, what does that look like? And how does it compare speed-wise, SEO-wise, security-wise, and all these other things that you're probably offering that they're not offering?
Like ongoing support?
Ongoing support, another thing that they probably shill out to some company that doesn't even work for them or something like that. I mean, all of that makes a difference. And Huge. All of that experience, people often forget that you know, people don't buy from robots or web pages or anything like that. They buy from people. They like mm-hmm. people. And mm-hmm. so if you're one of these people that's pushing your personality and someone likes your experience, they're not going to care what you charge. They're going to say, I'm buying from you because I like you. I don't care if you're building it with WordPress or Wix or Squarespace or any of these other builders. It doesn't matter to me. Any of these other CMSs. I like you. And that's what I'm buying is you.
I say that all the time. I completely and 100% agree that that is a huge thing. In fact, I was listening to a podcast a couple of days ago, and Corey Miller from iThemes is on there talking about whether or not you can have, what was it? What's the future for like solo plugin developers or solo theme creators or something like that? Is there still going to be a space for that in the community? Because like now it's like, if you're, say you create a theme to sell to someone, well, how do you compete against like Beaver Builder that's got a whole team of like dozens of people or whatever, or Elementor's got, you know, 100 people work there or something like that. How do you put something out there and say, yeah, everything is on my shoulders, but you know, what happens if I get hired by another company and I can't maintain my plugin anymore, my theme anymore? Well, now right. everybody's bought that is going to feel like, well, no support, no further updates. You know, it's just one guy.
Right.
Whereas, you know, just a couple of years, maybe even as frequently as like just 1 or 2 years ago, this really didn't really, I mean, it's only become a problem fairly recently when WordPress companies have moved from just, you know, individual people building plugins and creating themes and different services to now there's like businesses that do those types of things, like big
right,
businesses.
Of course.
So are you WordPress. Kind of noticing that too? Like, would you buy like a plugin from just a single developer?
Sure. I just did. I just bought Brix. Brix was, I'm pretty sure, a single developer. It's a brand new page builder that just came out from the guy who did Happy Files. And he has a great reputation and he built this page builder. And I got a video coming out shortly that's going to surprise people. But it's interesting because he's very transparent at what he's trying to do. But his page builder right off the bat was really impressive when I started looking at it. I was recording the video shortly before this, and it's got, for it being a, you know, a basic out-of-the-box page builder that just came out a couple of days ago, it's got a lot of interesting stuff that's already included with it that we don't normally see in 1.0 page builders. It's got stuff that shouldn't be in it that's making me very, very curious as to what is coming in the future because he's already got so much. And I've always said that page builders end up competing with themselves a lot of times. And that's one of the things that you start seeing. If one of them has a pop-up, well, then they all need to start having pop-ups. If one of them has a mega menu, then they all need to start having mega menus. And as they start adding these features in, they become less and less interesting to the average user or developer, because that developer says, well, they've had it like 2 years ago. I mean, you just came out with it right now. Well, this guy was smart enough to look at the landscape of the page builder market. And he said, I need to come out with all the features that should be included in this today that need to be here. And he's got a lot of good stuff. And I think that, like I said, I think he's a single developer. He may have a couple of other developers working with him, but he's not a big team. But here's the other thing. He's being inundated. The interesting part is not so much that he came out with this new build. It's the fact that the market is looking for another solution. Now, why is that happening if there's so many other solutions that are out there? And I think that's because you're seeing people who are mentioning things in Facebook groups and forums, and they're saying, hey, Divi, I like you, but you're a little bit too slow. And Divi kind of responds a couple months later and it doesn't make them happy. And so they end up going to Oxygen. They go to Oxygen. They say, oh, man, this is too hard for me. I can't understand it. So then they go to Elementor and they go, oh, well, it's not Divi's slowness and it's not Oxygen's developer, you know, back end, but it's somewhere in between. But it's still not what I want. The market doesn't have what it wants yet. And I think that there's a huge opportunity for someone to come in and just wipe the floor with some of these top-end builders and take the throne as a top-end builder. And I think it's only a matter of time. And I think that that team is going to be a very small team. I don't think it's going to be a big team because they're going to start listening to the community. And that's what some of these builders are starting to do very well. I saw a post the other day where a developer put out, they said, look, I'm hiring a new developer for this plugin and you don't work for me. You work for the community. And that's important. That's super important. That two-way communication between the developer and the community is what drives those plugins to really succeed a lot more. And that's also where you start seeing plugins fail very quickly, is when they stop listening to the community feedback and they start doing whatever they want or whatever their investors want, or, you know, just copying every other page builder. I think you have to listen to the feedback of your community and go with it.
I think you're exactly right. I completely agree with everything you said. I think it's going to be a small team. I think they're going to be heavily community influenced as opposed to that being an afterthought like some of the larger corporations. And like, I see that you had this Bricks. I haven't really even dug into Bricks at all. I don't know anything about it yet. But you posted a video like a week ago. It's got like 1,200 views already just about that.
Right. And that just goes to show you, once again, that's just showing that people are looking for another solution. And I have a deep dive that's coming out where people have been asking, because people are looking for, you know, an upgrade to the speed test. And where does Bricks fall in that? Well, it's very, very interesting. I won't ruin it, but it's going to be very, very interesting for anybody who takes a look at it, because I think it's going to surprise them. Page builders have always kind of suffered in the mobile department. They do very well desktop wise, but they don't do so great mobile. And I think we're starting to see a change in that. And I think that that's going to be an excellent change for everybody. Anybody who's building websites, they're going to start seeing that, oh, wait, these page builders are finally starting to be mobile responsive, and more so that they're starting to cater to the fact that they are somewhat worried about the whole Google Web Vitals thing. We need to at least, you know, speed up things. If there's too many divs or anything like that, we need to, you know, knock that all out, get that all cleaned up, so we're not spending so much time looking through all of these different trees trying to find just one thing. If you put a header on a page with certain page builders, you have to go through 9 or 10 different divs just to find it, because the way it's structured. From a developer's standpoint, that's crazy. You want to rip out your hair because you're like, why did they do that? Why did they make the decision to do that? But that's just the way it's been for a lot of page builders. And I think we're seeing a shift to reduce that. So I think that'll be good for both developers and maybe some newer page builder users.
Is Bricks something that leverages Gutenberg for the layout, or do they have their own builder tools?
So they have their own tools. So Bricks is actually the first page builder. Well, it's not the first. Divi would technically be the first, but it's the first page builder to basically say no theme. It is its own theme. So it's not a plugin. It's a theme that has the plugin element combined with it. So it does all the page builder, but here's where it gets interesting. They incorporated because they saw the future. Once again, small team looking at what's going on. It will import import Gutenberg data into it. So if you build something on Gutenberg, it'll bring it into it. So if you have a user, let's say a user is maybe locked out of the page building experience, but they do a lot of stuff with Gutenberg, writing posts or whatnot, you can actually build everything with Bricks and then just import it in using the Gutenberg builder for that user who may not be as well, you know as much about the page building experience in the back end, and just let them use the simplified version of Gutenberg. And so it's neat that they're including that, because that's something that you've only seen really done with Oxygen, a couple of other ones. They have some dynamic data where they'll pull from Gutenberg, but you don't actually use Gutenberg. And this is actually using Gutenberg. It pulls in the blocks. Which is really, really interesting.
That is really interesting. And it seems like, remember when we first started talking just now, you were saying that page builders and stuff kind of give you an upgrade path. Well, this is like upgrade path deluxe. It's like build your site on Gutenberg just to kind of get started. And when you're ready, you know, if you want to do more, you can.
Right.
You don't have to worry about compatibility issues, it sounds like.
Well, if anything, I think that they're thinking of the future and they're saying, hey, look, what if we can build a page builder that is theme, plugin, and it's got Gutenberg all combined? What if we can do that? And when you have that combination, you say, well, wait a second, I'm not losing out on anything. I still get the Gutenberg experience. I get all the updates that they get. Plus, I get this page building experience where I can build a theme and I can build the layout and I can do everything that I would normally do with page builders. What am I losing? And, you know, it's just, it's an interesting proposition. At first, I didn't even realize when my first video came out, I kind of talked about some of the negative things that were going on in the community. And then after playing with it, it's definitely way more interesting than what's on the market currently.
Is it kind of like the opposite of Oxygen? Because like when you install Oxygen, it's just a plugin and it kind of disables the whole theme feature.
So
is this just a theme? Like, how does that work?
It's kind of like a baby between the Elementor, Oxygen, and Brizzy is what I would call it. It's got the smoothness of UI of like Brizzy, but it's got the backend complication and the stuff that you could do in Oxygen. I mean, it's got some backend power, but it's also very fast. The UI is very clean. There's a lot about it that's going to make other page builders kind of stand up and say, we need to start watching these guys. And once again, it's a small team. It's a small, you know, small developer. It's not this big, huge developer that's a mega corporation. And so that just goes to show that the market, it really has a place for everybody. Even if WordPress is taking some of your business, there's somewhere out there that you can take a foothold and you can, you know, get your own piece of the pie.
Wow. Would you say that Bricks is kind of more in line with maybe like Cadence?
Not so much Cadence, because Cadence is strictly just a Gutenberg editor. I mean, Cadence is a theme, but it's also got the Gutenberg blocks. I think the blocks are what people go to more than the theme. The theme's good, and the theme plays on the blocks, but this is like a whole nother level. This is like a theme plugin, and then it imports the Gutenberg blocks all in one, which, like I said, Oxygen already does that, which is neat. But some of the people have been complaining in the community that it doesn't do it very well. And so they've kind of wanted an update to it, and they've wanted all of that. And I think that this is where this developer's kind of rolled in and said, well, I can make a better solution, and I can make a solution that works. And so that's what they're doing. So really, when you're installing it, you're just installing a theme, but it's got all of it built in.
That's awesome. That really does seem very forward thinking and new.
It is. It's definitely original.
That's cool. I'd be fascinated to watch this. So you've got all of this great content, and you seem to have, you know, unusual insight into all the new stuff that's going on. Like you seem to like have these relationships set up with people, and you're like on the bleeding edge, discovering the latest stuff, and then doing like real world tests, this video you were just talking about getting ready to create, you know, where you're going to, you know, surprise some people with some really cool results. And like you are creating information as opposed to just, you know, echoing information that other people are just talking about all the time, which is one of the things I find so exciting about talking to you, and so happy that you wanted to join me on this. So what if people want to find out more? So what if people want to get in touch with you or subscribe to your YouTube channel, or like where can people find you and, you know, kind of
so
get involved with what you're doing?
So if they want to, I mean, occasionally I'll write some blog posts, although it hasn't been updated in a while, but you can go to WPBuilderHelper.com, which I know is a ridiculous name. I've been told that many times, but it was the name that worked. It was what I wanted to do. I wanted to help people with page builders and get them out there. And that's what it is. And that's what it's become. And when you get to YouTube, you'll find a whole bunch of content there where I have, you know, the WP Builder Helper community. And I'm happy because our community has been very nice. People share some good insights. And so that's literally where I learn almost everything, because people will come out and they'll correct me if I'm wrong. They'll say, hey, look, you're missing this, this, and this. And I love the fact that, you know, I'm not so defensive that I take that feedback and get all, you know, hurt by it. And instead I use that and I look at it and say, okay, let me look at a different way of how this is working. And sometimes I'm lucky enough to even have developers come on to the channel. And they'll, you know, mention different things that maybe I'm off on or whatever the case is. It's been a very interesting experience. And I think it's only going to continue to get better from here, you know?
That's awesome. So is the community your YouTube community that you're talking about?
Yes. Yeah, the YouTube community.
Very cool. But and so I guess...
at some point, I'm also planning to build, I've been kind of prompting it. I was thinking for a while on YouTube, I was going to build a, basically like a learning platform that I wanted to come out with, where I went into the actual builders themselves and teach you how to use them. The problem was, originally I was going to build it on YouTube and it didn't work out. Their monetization and everything else that they have working in the back end that they've kind of made changes to have made it a little bit harder to do that. Not to mention, it's pretty hard to organize on YouTube. So I'm actually going to be releasing something very shortly. It's probably another 4 or 5 months away, but it'll be a Page Builder Academy, which I kind of already had a video on that's on the channel, but it was supposed to be released for YouTube, but I'm going to be releasing it as a basically like a learning platform where people can go in, they can ask questions, they can watch videos, they can basically learn stuff.
That sounds awesome. That sounds really cool. So would people like, is it like a course that you subscribe to or?
Yeah, I'm thinking about probably turning it into a membership website where you just pay a low monthly fee and you can go on there and watch as many videos as you want. And I'm just going to throw the videos on there and people are going to be able to go in and they'll learn whatever they want to learn from me, whether it's optimizing a website or some affiliate background or just page builders in general, which will be probably the bulk of it. Is the page building experience and what I think are some of the shortcomings of certain page builders and what I think are some of the strengths of some of the page builders.
That sounds awesome. That sounds really helpful and valuable. And so going to wppagebuilder.com is the way to kind of stay informed about that?
Wpbuilderhelper.com. Yeah, I have a mailing list on there. As soon as that comes out, I'll definitely be posting stuff on there about when it's coming out and when it's getting ready to release.
Awesome. Okay. So heading over to your website, subscribing to your YouTube channel, because you'll probably post a video about that, I would imagine.
Definitely.
That one coming around. Let people know there. So you got website, email list, YouTube channel. I like it.
Yep. Whole package. I try and include everybody. So if you're one of these people who maybe you'd rather read, then watch the video, which I don't think is the case. I think people like watching video a whole lot more. But if you want some data, I put a lot of data on there. So if there's any table or anything that needs to be on there, like this speed test, it'll be updated on that so that they can go there and they can link to the data and see what's going on with it.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I'll put a link to your website and your YouTube channel below this video so people can get it there and to stay in touch with Patrick. Well, awesome, Patrick. This has been great. I love it. I'm so appreciative of you spending some time with us. And I'll go ahead and get all this stuff posted up and packaged up so people can find you. And then I guess that'll be that. So awesome, man. Well, thanks so much. High five to you.
Hey, thanks for inviting me. I enjoyed it. It was fun.